We invite you to take your Bible, and we're turning to the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, and the last chapter. So the chapter will be easy found tonight, Revelation chapter 22. John's on the Isle of Patmos. He's an old man. He has been banished there for his faith in Christ. He's been persecuted. And as he's been there on the Isle of Patmos, he saw things, he heard things. And we're learning in chapter 22 about some of those things that he heard and saw. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, on another side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manners of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads, and there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign for ever and ever. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then said he unto me, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren, the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God. And he said unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still, and he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly. My reward is with me to give every man according to his work, as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life. And may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs, and sorcerers, and whoremongers, and murderers, and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him that heareth say, come. Let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. He which testified these things said, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. May the Lord again bless the reading of his precious word to our hearts. Let's stand together for prayer, please. Our loving Father in heaven, we give thee thanks for our meeting tonight. We thank thee for the ministry and song. We thank thee for the songs of Zion that we have been uniting our voices and singing together. We thank thee for the reading of the scriptures. We thank thee, Lord, for the offerings and the tithes that thy people have brought. Pray, Lord, this money will be used for the extension of thy kingdom at home and overseas. We pray now, Lord, for thy blessing upon this congregation. Remember those who are sick and those who are bereaved at this time, those who are hurting. Lord, comfort and sustain them. May they be assured that underneath and around about are thine everlasting arms. Now, Lord, as we come to the closing part of the service, we ask thee, Lord, that For a little while we'll be closed in with thee and by thee. Put a hedge of blood about our gathering tonight. Close us in, Lord. And we ask thee, our Father, that thou will bring into subjection every wandering thought. That men and women will face up to the great issue. Where will they be in eternity? Oh, burn into the hearts of men and women where they will be 5 minutes after they die. We pray, Lord, that all will see to it tonight that they will be in heaven. When the roll is called up yonder, they'll be there. We pray, our Father, that none from this gathering will be absent on that great day. We ask thee, O now, Lord, that thy word will come with plainness, come with power, come with blessing to our hearts. Lord, we ask thee that thou wilt fill us with thy Holy Spirit. Lord, we pray that thou wilt take the vessel of clay, empty it of everything, and fill it with thyself. We pray that the messenger tonight will know the help and power and blessing of the Lord. We just commit our meeting, the final part of our meeting, to thee. We say, Lord, come have thine own way. We are the potter. Lord, thou art the potter, we are the clay. Make us, melt us, mold us. Lord, have thine own way. And may Jesus have all the praise and all the glory. For it is in his name we do pray. Amen. Amen. Once again, beloved, we invite you to take your Bible. And how we ought to thank God for the precious book we have in our hand. You know, there's nothing like the Bible. There's no book like the Bible. There are millions and millions of books in the world. Many books printed in various languages of the world. But there's no book like the Bible. You see, this book is complete. There's nothing to be added to the book. Indeed, we're warned at the beginning of the Bible, in the middle of the Bible, and at the end of the Bible, not to add to the word. Maybe you'd like those references. I'll give them to you very quickly because of time. The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 4, near enough the beginning of the Bible. And it says at verse 2, ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it. We're not to add to the book. We're not to take from the book, because the book is correct. And then we're told in Proverbs, which is near enough the middle of the Bible, that we're not to add to the book. It says in Proverbs chapter 30, verse 3, every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. And in our reading tonight, the last book of the Bible, we were told in that chapter not to add to the book. It said clearly at verse 18, for I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in the book. So you can see clearly that we are warned not to add to the book. We're not to take from the book. How blessed we are tonight to have the Bible in our mother tongue. We have a book that is correct. We have a book that is without flaw. We have a book that is inspired by God. And this precious book has been committed to you and to me. Our Bible is made up of 66 books, 39 in the Old Testament, 27 in the New Testament. It is God's infallible word. All that God wants to say to you, all that he's going to say to you, is found within the covers of this book. The Lord has much to say to us in his precious word. And beloved, when you think of this book that is correct, a book that's complete, a book that's committed to you, you will learn afresh that there's a blessing for you when you read the book. Indeed, in Revelation chapter 1, verse 3, we're told exactly that. Blessed is he that heareth the word. Blessed are they that heareth the word, that hear the words of the prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. There's a blessing for us tonight when we read the Bible. There's an extra special blessing for us when we read the book of Revelation. There are 1,189 chapters in the Bible. We have read from those chapters, that chapter tonight, the final chapter of the Bible, and God has much to say to us tonight. How blessed John was on the Isle of Patmos. John was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. We read in Revelation chapter 1 that this old servant of the Lord was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and he heard behind him a great voice as of a trumpet. John heard things. John saw things. And John received invitation to come and to hear and to see more. It's recorded for us in chapter 4, for instance, at verse 1. After this I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was, as it were, a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. Notice the invitation John heard of the Lord to come near and to hear and to learn. Again, in Revelation chapter 17, John was invited. It says at verse 1, and there came one of the seven angels which had seven vials and talked with me, saying, come up hither, and I will show thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters. So John was learning, John has been taught, and John has recorded all that he heard and all that he saw in this precious book. And he says there's a blessing for us when we read it. He tells us tonight to open the book. Did you note when we in our reading tonight where it said there at verse 10, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. So we rejoice tonight. We have the book in our mother tongue. We have the book open before us. And may the author of the book come strange in the ear and open our minds and open our hearts to receive his word. And may we be those tonight who are not just hearers only, but doers of the precious word of God. Now, in the chapter which we read together, there are three things that the Lord has laid on my heart, and I want to share them with you this evening. I want you to notice, first of all, that there is a wonder to ponder. Oh, what a wonder. Now, there's been many wonders in the world. 42 years ago, in July 1969, Neil Armstrong was the first man to leave Earth and go to the moon and walk on the Earth and come back again. What a wonder that was. But my dear friends, the wonder that God wants us to ponder is a much greater wonder than that. This wonder that we are asked to contemplate transcends all other wonders. It is the great return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Three times in 21 verses, Jesus says, I come again. We had it there at verse 7, behold, I come quickly. We had it at verse 12, behold, I come quickly. And then at verse 20, surely I come quickly. The king is coming suddenly. He's coming swiftly. My dear friends, he's coming unexpectedly. This book teaches that Jesus is coming again. You know, the old preachers used to talk and preach and tell their people about the coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ. We live in a day and age when we seem to have got away from all that. My dear friend, the sole head and only king of the church will come again. The Bible tells us in the Old Testament that he's coming. There are twice as many references in the Old Testament to the personal, visible return of the Lord Jesus as there are to his first coming. Graham Scroggie, a great Bible teacher, tells us that one verse in every 25 verses of the Old Testament tells us that Jesus will come again. The Savior himself, as he stood under the shed of the cross, said in 21 occasions, I will come again. Verses come very quickly to your mind. Think of John 14. Let not your heart be troubled. If you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. The Savior taught again and again that he would come, he would return. He's coming personally, he's coming visibly, and every eye will see him and every tongue will confess. My dear friends, tonight we need to pay attention to this message. Young people, you need to listen, because you and I, without exception, are going to meet the King. The King is coming, and we are going to meet him, either saved or unsaved, ready or unready, prepared or unprepared. You are going to meet the Lord Jesus Christ. He's coming back in power. He's coming in glory. And we're going to meet him. The Bible tells us that he is coming again. The Savior himself taught that he would come again. The holy angels said to the disciples, they had gone with the Savior out to the Mount of Olives. And there they watched as he was taken up from them. And the holy angel said to the apostles, "This same Jesus shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go." The Lord Jesus is coming back. He's coming surely. He's coming suddenly. He's coming when men and women least expect him. How many Christians tonight really expect Jesus Christ to come? He is surely coming. And it's the task of the church today to get men and women ready for his return. It was the ministry of John the Baptist to get men and women ready for the first coming of the Lord Jesus. Do you remember reading in Luke's Gospel concerning the birth of John the Baptist? And that there, Zacharias and Elizabeth were given that son. And he was told that power would be upon him. It said, if you want the reference, it's chapter 1, Luke's Gospel, chapter 1. And verse 16. "And many of the children of Israel shall be turned to the Lord their God, and he shall go forth in the spirit and power of Elias," which is Elijah, "to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." That was the task of John the Baptist. And it's the task of the church today to get people ready for his second coming. How did John prepare the people for his first coming? How are we to prepare the people for the second coming? How was John to prepare? "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." The message is still the same. The only way to have sins forgiven. The only way to be washed in the blood of the Lamb. To be ready for that great event. The Lord Jesus Christ is coming back, and it behoves all of us to be ready. You see, John was ready. The last prayer of the Bible tells me that John was ready. Revelation chapter 22, the Lord Jesus said, "Surely I come quickly." Amen. "Even so come, Lord Jesus." John was ready. Oh, my dear, what a wonderful day is coming. Wonderful, wonderful day for the man and woman who saved. The day of our glorification. We are now the children of the Lord. But it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know when he shall appear, we shall be like him. What a day it will be when Jesus comes. One day sooner than any of us realize. My Father in heaven is going to say to Gabriel, "Sound the trumpet. My son is going for his church. My son is going for his bride." And Jesus will come in power and come in glory. And those that are ready, as the bride of Christ, will go out to meet him. What a wonderful day. Wonderful day for the child of God. But a woeful day for the man, the woman who's unsaved. What an awful day it will be for those who have sat in free Presbyterian churches. What an awful day for those men and women who have sat under the sound of the gospel and have not obeyed the gospel. The Apostle Paul, writing to a church that was looking for the coming of the Lord, and the church of Thessalonica, we read in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 these words. Verse 6, "Seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you, and to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God." Are you listening? "And that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the power of his glory." Verse 10, wonderful day for the child of God when he shall come to be glorified in his saints, to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you is believed in that day. Wonderful day for the child of God. Woeful day, woeful, woeful day for the unsaved. My dear friend, it doesn't bear thinking about tonight that men and women who have sat in these pews, who have heard our brother McRae preach with the anointing of God upon and the tears running down his cheeks, pleading with you to come to Christ, but you have said no. It doesn't bear thinking about to die in your sin and be lost forever, and then one day to meet the Lord, meet him unsaved and say, "Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I know you not." Oh, let me say to you tonight with all the sense that I can muster in all the urgency. Men and women, whatever you do, get ready to meet the Lord, for He is surely coming. My Bible tells me He's coming. Jesus said He was coming. The apostles preached the coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I know there's many theories regarding the coming of the Lord. There's the pre-mill and post-mill and all the rest of it. But that's not our subject tonight. Our subject is this, that Christ is coming. Coming sooner than we might realize. And what I want to get across to the congregation tonight is this, that you personally are going to meet Him. And that day, you'll meet Him as your Savior, as your judge. When I was a young Christian, I heard an old-fashioned preacher tell a very moving story, which left an impression on my young heart. This old preacher said that many years ago, there was a student. He was at university. He was studying law. And as he gave himself diligently to his studies, he had a good intellectual gift in many ways. And he was able to apply himself to studies. And he studied and became a lawyer. But while he was at university, one day he was crossing the road. And there was a horse that had bolted. Something had frightened the horse. And there was a man sitting in a little trap. The life was frightened out of him. But that student was brought up on a farm. He was accustomed to horses. And he stepped out onto the middle of the road and caught the horse by the head and brought the horse under control. The man in the trap thanked him profusely for saving his life. They went their several ways. The student continued with his studies and became a lawyer. And in the process of time, he was appointed to the bench. He became a judge. And one day, there was a criminal brought before him, and the evidence had been presented that this man had attacked a lady, he had violated her, and then he had murdered her. The evidence was presented, and the jury were sent out to consider their verdict. They returned in and to the courtroom, and the clerk of the court asked them, the foreman, he said, "Have you reached a verdict on which you're all agreed?" And the clerk, or the foreman of the jury, said, "Yes, we have. We find the defendant guilty of murder in the first degree." Then the judge started to pronounce sentence. In those days, they had the death penalty. And he told the criminal that he would die on a particular date. And the criminal rose to his feet and said, "Sir, but don't you remember me?" And he started to relate the story, how that he had saved his life so many years previously. And the judge says, "Yes, I remember the incident." He says, "That day, I was your Savior. Today, I am your judge." Now think of those words. Tonight, Jesus is our Savior. He can save unto the uttermost all that come unto God by Him. His blood can cleanse us from the vilest and the foulest of sin. He's the Savior tonight. We're in the day of grace. That day, He will be your judge. Now let me get this across to you. You, sir, you, madam, are going to meet Him. Let me ask you tonight, how will you meet Him? Will you meet Him as your Savior and your Lord? Or will you meet Him as your Savior? Will you hear Him say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord"? Or will you hear Him say, "Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I know you not"? You see, the Holy Ghost would have us tonight ponder this great wonder. That the sky, one day the trumpet will sound. And Jesus will come in power and come in glory. He will come to receive His own. They'll be glorified. What a day that will be. But woeful, woeful day for the man, the woman, unsaved, unconverted. I want you to notice in the second place, there's a warning to ponder, not just a wonder to ponder. The King will come. He'll come swiftly. He'll come suddenly. Come unexpectedly. But you'll notice here at verse 11 that there is a warning to ponder. Chapter 22, and look with me please at verse 11. "He that is unjust, let him be unjust still, and he which is filthy, let him be filthy still, and he which is righteous, let him be righteous still, and he that is holy, let him be holy still." What does that mean? It means when Jesus comes, the eternal state of man cannot be altered. When Jesus comes, if a man saved, he'll be saved for all eternity, yes. When Jesus comes, if a man's unsaved, he'll remain unsaved. In other words, there's no second chance. When Jesus comes, they'll not be preaching another gospel, as some would try to tell us. When Jesus comes, he will come as the judge. He will come as the sovereign. He will come as the Lord. He came the first time, but he's coming back the second time without sin. He's not coming as the sin bearer. He's coming as the sovereign. He's coming as the Lord. And so the eternal state of man will be fixed when Jesus comes. You'll notice there that we read tonight, and those final chapters tell us about the wonderful place of the New Jerusalem. The city built four square, the pearl hung gates, gives us the description, gives us the dimensions. But it also tells us those that will not be there, those that will be closed out. It said at verse 15, "For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever liveth and maketh a lie." Look at chapter 21, verse 8. The Holy Ghost here has been giving John something of the wonder of the New Jerusalem. And he says at verse 14, "But the fearful and the unbelieving and abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." My dear friend, when Jesus comes, there's no more gospel preaching. When Jesus comes, there's going to be a mighty announcement that time shall be no more. You remember how it was in Noah's day? Noah preached to the old world for 120 years. Never saw a soul saved. But his wife was saved. His three boys were saved. And their wives. And what happened? God invited Noah and his wife and his boys and their wives into the ark. And the scripture says, God shut the door. You see, grace has a terminating point. That great door on that ark that swung wide open, and it remained for an extra 7 days. Door that was wide enough to permit a pair of elephants. Yet men and women wouldn't enter in the door. They refused, and judgment fell upon them, and they perished. They were like you, men and women. They were greatly blessed, and they were warned. They were faithfully warned. Noah was an old preacher, and he preached, and he preached. But men and women wouldn't accept the message. They wouldn't believe. And my dear friends, there's those tonight who come to gospel meetings and they do believe. But the devil deceives them and he tells them, you have time enough. You need to be saved. You've got to be saved. But not tonight. I have seen men and women, and I fear sometimes they have sinned away their day of grace. You can't get saved when you like. For my spirit shall not always strive with man. And so we are reminded that there's a time to be saved. When should I get saved? Right now. For now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. I have seen men who were so near the kingdom and yet just died outside. I don't know. I often think about them. They were friends. One man in particular was a great friend. And at 10:30 he said to a Christian, "I'm going to get saved. One of these days I'm going to go up to the mansion. I'm going to get Mr. Allen to point me to the Savior. I need to be saved. I'm going to get saved." That was at 10:30. At 12 o'clock I was at his side. But he was gone. Gone. Where? I fear that he was closed out. It was too late. I had another friend. He attended the meetings. He never missed a meeting. Christian. He never missed a prayer meeting either. He came to the early morning prayer meetings. The elders weren't there, but he was there. And he wasn't saved. But he was almost. He would sit on the Sunday night in the front seat, and the tears would run down his cheeks. One night we're preaching on that great text, "The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we're not saved." And I looked down at him, but there were no tears. He closed his Bible, and he looked all around the scene. If there were any cobwebs on the rafters, he saw them. And I spoke to him on the way out. He said, "Mr. Allen, you'll always be welcome in my home. My wife has got saved, and we're glad of that. We want to see the family saved." But something happened to me in that meeting, and I no longer have any interest. Where is he, my friend? Did he cross over the deadline? Did he say no to God for the final time? My Bible tells me that men and women can get to the place, I don't know how, where God gives them up. No more preaching. No more striving of the Spirit. They presumed on God's grace. They said no to the free offer of salvation for the final time. And in their bosom is a doomed soul. Doomed as if they were already in hell. That's the solemnity of it. Do you see what he's telling us tonight? There's a warning. A warning for us to ponder. A warning for us to think about as we have never really thought before. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He that is filthy, let him be filthy still. My dear friends, do you see it tonight? Oh my, there's a wonder to ponder. Christ is coming. There's a warning. Warning that we need to be ready. And my dear friends, one final thought. I want you to notice here. There's a welcome to ponder. Our God's a God of grace. A God of love. He doesn't close the Bible without giving us an invitation. Did you notice that verse as we read it together? Notice what it said there at verse 17. And the Spirit, that's the Holy Ghost, and the bride, that's the church, say come. And let him hear us say come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will him, let him take the water of life freely. Oh, my dear friends, the wonder of the invitation. You see, here is God in this final book, the final chapter, 1,189 chapters, and he doesn't bring the Bible to a close without inviting men and women to come and to taste and see that God is good. Oh, sometimes I just like to go through the scriptures and ponder the blessed invitation. Let me leave a couple with you. In Isaiah chapter 1, we learn something of the depravity of man. How depraved he really is, how sinful he really is. Isaiah tells us in chapter 1, look there at verse 6. You've heard sermons on it. From the sole of the foot even unto the head, there's no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither modified with ointment. Notice the picture here that's given of man and his uncleanness, in his filthiness, in his iniquity, in his sin. He's such just a mass of like running sores. And yet notice what it says at verse 15. He says at verse 16, wash you, make you clean, put away evil in you from your doings, from before mine eyes, cease to do evil. And then let's look at verse 18. Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Notice it. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as wool. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Oh, praise God, there's cleansing. There's forgiveness for us. Doesn't matter how vile a sin is, how deep dyed the sinner may be. There's pardon, there's cleansing. Praise God, there's power in the precious blood. Do you remember the chapter we're reading from this morning? We read some verses at the close of 1 Corinthians 6 and at verse 19. But listen to verse 9. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Notice they're all closed out. But see the grace of God. Look at verse 11. But such were some of you, but you're washed, but you're sanctified, but you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Oh, how he invites us tonight. He's saying, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. He's saying, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Oh, brother and sister, time is short. Soon the King will come. He'll come in power and come in glory. And we need to be ready. Oh, that we could say tonight, as John could say, even so, Lord Jesus. Let me ask you, as personally, as clearly as I know how, are you ready to meet the Lord? My dear friends, what would happen in this gathering tonight if my Lord was to come and walk down the aisle? Would you be with the sheep?
or with the goats, with the believers or the unbelievers, with the saved or the unsaved. See, my Lord only knows two classes of people. Those who are ready to meet the King, those who are unprepared. Where do you stand tonight? My earnest prayer is with you, my dear friends. Make your calling and election sure. God in His grace and in His mercy and in His providence has seen in His divine purpose to have us here tonight in this meeting together. He has given me this message to bring to you. I have brought it to you as faithfully as I know how. With the help of the Lord, the help of the Holy Spirit, I have sought to press it home to your heart personally. I want you to forget about those who are sitting around you, your friends, your neighbors. How do you stand tonight to meet the King? Are you ready? What a day it will be when He comes. Wonderful day for His people. Woeful day for those who are not ready. You are going to meet Him. How, my friends, will you meet the lovely Savior? Saved or unseen? For meet Him, my friend, you will. Let's bow together in prayer. Oh, Father, we rejoice that Thou hast said in Thy precious word, look unto Me, all ye ends of the earth, and be ye saved, for I am God, and there's none else. Lord, we pray that Thou wilt help men and women now to look away from themselves, look away from the church, look away from everything, but look to Christ and to Christ alone. And we thank Thee that Jesus said that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. May there be a looking to our Savior tonight and a calling on His precious name. We rejoice that Jesus is the door, and You have told us if any man enter in by the door, he shall be saved. Thou hast said that him that cometh unto Me, I will in no wise cast out. Lord, may there be a coming to Jesus tonight. May the devil be defeated. May there be rejoicing in heaven and on earth over sinners repenting and coming home. Now, Lord, as we separate and go our various ways, may we know that blessing which maketh rich and addeth no sorrow thereto. For we do pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.